much, Valerie. Morning, everybody. It's very good to see you. Do keep praying for Adrian. I know not everybody here will know Adrian and Gay, but enough of you do that when Neil talked about his need for rest, there was a ripple of amusement went round. It won't surprise you if you know Adrian that although, I mean, it was a major heart attack, and they live in Clevedon, and Gay was away overnight. So what does somebody like Adrian do? He drives himself to Southmead. Absolutely extraordinary, but there we go. And one of the crazy things that we clergy are able to do, just by virtue of being this Anglican church, is we can put people up for various things. And for the last couple of years, I've been putting Adrian and Gay's name forward. And one of the reasons I'm praying for a swift recovery is that, God willing, if he's well enough, this year he's going to be honoured by the Queen on Maundy Thursday, the Maundy money. And I'm sure none of us can really think of anybody more deserving of that. So do continue to pray for Adrian and Gay, an amazing couple. Well, I don't know what you were doing last week. Some of you will have been here in Bristol. Some of you will have been elsewhere. Jackie and I were up in London, first 4 days just being in London together, and then I was at General Synod from Wednesday. And we travelled back by train yesterday, and it was an incredibly busy train between Paddington and Bristol, and we were in one of those four seats with a table. And we were joined by a mum and her little boy. We learnt that he was age 6, and he was an extraordinary little boy. Let's just say the word prodigy could have been kicking its heels in the English language, just waiting for this boy to appear. And towards the end of the journey, as we sort of pulled out of Chippenham, maybe a bit before that, about then, he decided to play I Spy with us. And when it was his turn, he stumped the whole carriage of adults. I Spy, said with my little eye, something beginning with D. And we had all sorts of things, and we just couldn't get it. It was none of the obvious things around. And then he said, it's something you can see, but you can't see. And then that didn't help. And then he said, this six-year-old boy said, technically, it's outside, but it's also inside. Anyway, and at one point, I said, look at my face. Is it despair, you know? And he said, no. And I said, well, at least you could say, well, that was a good effort. He said, but it wasn't a good effort. Anyway, the carriage gradually went quieter as everybody listened to us struggling to do with this little 6-year-old boy's I Spy. And the family opposite began to join in, mother, father, and little girl. And actually, it was the mum who got it. And just before we got to Bristol, and this little boy was quite disappointed, and she said, is it distance? And that was the answer. Anyway, this mum, it turned out, was Greek. So, of course, as you do, I was able just to compare with her the modern pronunciation of distance in Greek with the biblical or Hellenistic, which actually is quite close. So the modern Greek for distance is makreon, and in biblical or Hellenistic Greek, it's makran. Just thought you'd like to know. Anyway, why don't you, we will come back to that. Why don't we, as I just get set up, turn to the person next to you. What is the furthest distance you have ever been from the place you sit now? What's the furthest distance you've ever been from Christchurch Clifton? Okay. Well, that didn't take too long, I hope. And I know there are a number of people who are either from or who've been to New Zealand, and you probably win. That technically is just about the furthest distance. We had some great news on the Church Family News, not least about the tear fund events, Janet's review. The reason for going on Saturday is because Janet got charged by a bull elephant. And if you want to know how that happened, the elephant is recovering. So if you want to hear more about that, do come along on Saturday. And then we're hosting Bristol's 50th celebration of Tear Fund later in March. But next Sunday at both the 10 and the 5, don't miss it, because we're not taking a pause from our series, but actually our speaker, Jane Akilachoy, is from Uganda, And everybody who's heard her says she's absolutely amazing. So she'll be speaking at the 10 and at the 5 next Sunday. One of our values as a church is our heart for the nations, and we want to give you an insight into what Tearfund is doing over in Uganda. But let's just recap where we are. We are in a series under the banner headline Wholeness, and we're reminding ourselves that wholeness is an invitation to be more fully loved, that we might more fully love. Wholeness is an invitation to be more fully loved by God, that we might more fully love. And we're in a partner series with the 5. We're looking at wholeness at the 10 through the lens of Ephesians, and I'm going to be continuing in that in a moment. And at the 5, we're looking at it through the lens of some verses in 1 John chapter 4. But the whole thrust is on wholeness. And over the course of the last few weeks, as we've looked at Ephesians together, we've been seeing that Ephesians is full of the narrative of our vision under the 3 words connect, grow, influence, CGI. I was going to get you to sort of repeat them out loud after me, but are we ready for that? We probably are. We probably can do that. But the key thing is not just those 3 words, but the couplets that go with them. And together they describe the journey that we long to take people on. We long to see people enter. As we talk about connect, we're thinking about meeting God and finding family. And our reading this morning is really focusing on those 2 things. What it is to meet God, and as a result, to find yourself in a family. Not only the gift of salvation in eternity, but the gift of family here and now. Growth is about our identity being restored and our purpose being released. And the journey concludes or moves on as we're empowered to transform culture. And that is the story of the gospel. It's a story that begins within the human heart and mind, but never ends there. And dear friends, if ever our gospel story, if ever our salvation narrative ends inside, we haven't traveled the full journey. It's got to come out, because what we experience inside overflows out into our world. And we are in good company. We are a Church of England church, just in case you didn't know. And I was reminded this week, being on General Synod, what the vision of the Church of England is. I don't know how, I'm not going to ask you to guess, but the vision of the Church of England is that every resident of the United Kingdom should have a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. That's not a bad vision, is it? Very similar to ours. We believe the church exists to change the world, one person, one city, one nation at a time. We've been seeing in Ephesians how key the phrase in Christ is. And today, my sermon title, just because I was so pleased with the last one, is Does My Butt Look Big in This? Part 2. If you weren't here for the last 10, which was 2 weeks ago, that was Does My Butt Look Big in This? And I couldn't really come up with a better title, so it's part 2 this week, because we're going to be looking at another of Paul's great butts. So you could say this is the other cheek if you really wanted to, but there we go. So, meeting God and finding family. I also want to look at why and how salvation works. Every so often, people say to me, well, yeah, I've heard about the blood, I've heard about the cross. I just don't get how that can work. I don't understand why that has to be the mechanism for me to be saved. Paul will explain that here. I want to look at a slightly broader definition of peace to the one that most of us understand, and then particularly to focus on family and what our role is in creating the family that God wants people beyond these walls to find here. So, verses 11 to 13. I hope the words will be up on the screens. Turn your Bibles on, open your Bibles if you want to follow it where you sit. But these words will be back up on the screen from the NIV. So Paul is saying, remember, do you remember the last time I preached we had the big ladder up on the stage? And I even tried to climb to the top of it, because in the first part of Ephesians 2, Paul does this dynamic of height movement. Christ was raised from the grave and exalted to the right hand of God. And then we were dead in trespasses and sin. We too have been raised, and we've been exalted with Christ, and we sit with him. And there's that sense of the ladder up and down. And Paul reverts back to the depths, if you like, in verse 11. Remember that formerly, that means before you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And then I'm going to miss out the little bit about circumcision, because I want to come back to that at the end. But remember verse 12. You were separate from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship. You were foreigners to the promises. You had no hope and you did not know God. The word atheist, from which we get atheist, to be without God. And that is the reality of who we were. Now, why does Paul labor that point? I think because Paul understands all too well from his previous religious pathway that thinking of yourself in the terms that the New Testament wants us to think of, we're no longer categorized as sinners but as saints. We're no longer without hope. We're no longer without people. We'll see this as we come into verse 19. The danger is pride. The danger is pride then leads us to look down our noses at other people. And I think Paul wants us to remember what it is like to be outside these walls. Now, if you've been coming to church for any length of time, doesn't matter if it's this church or any church, it is easy to forget how challenging it can be for people just to walk through the doors of a church. And we need to remember what it's like. There can be no holier than thou. There can be no looking down the spiritual nose at anybody else. Because formerly, we were the same. And Paul wants us to remember this. It is healthy to remember from where we've come. So the reality is spelled out in verse 12 of where we were formerly. Let's just look ahead, if we can get it on the screens, to verse 19, where Paul effectively reverses what he's just said. You are no longer foreigners and strangers, but you are now fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Household, this word for family, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets and so on. So before this was the reality, now this is the reality. And the common denominator is exclusion and inclusion. Formerly you had no part of this, now you do. Formerly you were kept away, now you are brought in. That is the radical discontinuity, if you like, of the gospel narrative. What we were formerly has been utterly, utterly changed. So what happened? It's essentially like a perfect Christian testimony. I mean, an ideal Christian testimony has three parts. What was the situation before, how things are now, and what happened, the encounter. And we get that here in verse 13, and it's the great word, but, again. It doesn't actually appear in the Greek, it's just the word now, but in the English, but now. How things are different in Christ Jesus. That phrase again that is used by Paul throughout the New Testament. That's his understanding. You are in Jesus. As we looked at in the first half of chapter 2, everything that God did for Jesus, raising, exalting, seating, he has done for you because you are in him. In Christ, in this short passage, comes four times. Here in verse 15 again, twice in verse 22, and again in 22. And Paul says, but now you who were once far away. And here's that Greek word, makran, to be at a distance, to be a long way off, to be afar off. Now, I don't know whether any of you, have you got any echoes of somewhere else in the New Testament where the phrase a long way off? Yeah, were you going to say the same? Two, brilliant, fantastic. Thankfully, one of them was my son. That was great. Well done, Jonty, that's good. And Jackie in the choir. Luke 15. It's Luke 15, verse 20. The story of the two sons.